Rasmussen, the eyes of the nation on Minneapolis after the shooting at the church on the school grounds of Annunciation Church in that city. And with some more details, let's start with CBS's Michael George.
Gun violence, this time targeting a church filled with hundreds of students on their third day of the new school year. The two victims killed, just 8 and 10 years old. 14 other kids were wounded, along with 3 parishioners in their 80s. The shooter is dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, this happened on the south side of Minneapolis at Annunciation Catholic Church, which is on the same grounds as the Catholic school. Nydia Cavazos joins us from Minneapolis. How is that community holding up?
It's an entire community that is currently mourning the lost lives of these two children who died after yesterday's shooting. But it's also an entire community that is also praying for the recovery of the children that are currently critically injured across local hospitals.
Prayer services and a candlelight vigil in Minneapolis as a community comes together after unspeakable tragedy.
We are a city united in grief. Let us take the next step to be a city united in action.
Hours earlier, police say a suspect shot through the windows of Annunciation Catholic Church during a mass full of students from the church's school. 2 young children, just 8 and 10 years old, were killed.
This was a deliberate act of violence against innocent children.
Fifth grader Weston Halsney says he ran and hid under a pew after he heard the gunshots.
My friend Victor, saved me, though, because he laid on top of me, but he got hit. I hope he's good in the hospital.
Parents were visibly shaken as they reunited with their children.
Police say the suspect identified as 23-year-old Robin Westman died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
We're also aware of a manifesto that the shooter had timed to be released on YouTube. That content has since been taken down with the assistance of the FBI, and it now remains under active review by our investigators.
Flags in Minnesota and at the White House were lowered to half staff. The FBI says it's investigating the incident as an act of domestic terrorism and hate crime targeting Catholics.
Police say they've also been able to recover other weapons after being able to execute a search warrant at residences and at the church, given that these were locations that were tied to the suspect.
And the latest from CBS. And the fallout locally, as you heard Paul and Pat Septak giving kind of the local reaction from the Catholic community here, including the new bishop, obviously horrified by the tragedy. And in this case, thoughts and prayers. But then we go down the same litany of questions that come with these shootings. What do we do about it? What happens next? And the truth is very little. Very, very little.
As things stand right now, Larry, what is there to do? I mean, there is a lot of endless debate.
Well, you can't ever give up, and you always want to hope that you can find ways to mitigate. It doesn't appear, though, we'll ever be able to completely stop it. This is kind of a new wrinkle in the fact that young children in a Catholic church having Mass on a Wednesday morning
are the victims. This was a deliberate decision.
Right.
This was no,
and a,
the talk random of type thing.
Having metal detectors in schools. Personally, I think schools should have those as a matter of course.
But would they have helped here? No.
No. This would not have helped in this case. And that's part of what you have to understand. And it's hard as a parent, a grandparent, thinking of your kids and other people's children in schools. You would think they would be safe. We know that's not 100% the case. However, we did talk to a safety expert that gave us a little bit of, in terms of the percentages of something happening, or extremely rare, but when something like this happens, that goes out the window for hearts and minds.
My hope, Larry, is in the wake of this and other similar shootings, that they're able to build a profile, some of the things that these people have in common, some of the behaviors they have in common, things that could be looked for.
There's actually an entire division in the FBI that does just that. You may have recalled the series Mindhunter.
Oh, a great series, yep.
That was shot in Pittsburgh, actually.
Yep.
And it was about the development of that branch inside were under the umbrella of the FBI, where they tried to do just that, Paul.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed watching it. I learned a lot. And if they have this kind of a profile, with the artificial intelligence tools that are available, if someone is posting things on social media,
well, you know what?
that are kind of freaky, this gives them a lead. This gives them an opportunity. And then if they're able to find out that they've recently purchased guns, like this person did,
and,
right?
And obtained those legally.
Right.
But you're right. But if they're posting hate-filled type speech, then maybe you bring up a very valid point. Artificial intelligence may be able to kind of scrub that and at least alert somebody to take a look at this situation prior.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not going to help here. But if that in the future is one of the applications for artificial intelligence, and I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it already is to some degree.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that. And on the lighter side, we're getting ready for a holiday weekend, and there's so much going on in town. And coming up next, I want to share with you, have you heard of Burning Man, this thing that goes on in the desert out west?
Yes, I have.
It's now being called Raining Man.
Really?
I'll tell you why next. 10-4, the Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news weekdays. With Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. And yesterday, Paul and Aaron, this nice lady came up to me and said, "Hey, Lair, I watch you guys every morning. You watch us."
Wow.
Yeah, on the live stream. Presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Thank you, Spunzers. And she said, "Why don't we get to see Aaron?"
Ah. That is a good question.
Ah.
It would improve the look of the whole thing by a lot.
Well, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Aaron, we're gonna go to the boss, and we're going to demand, we're not playing this
demand
season.
The yellow van?
Yeah, Paul, I was like,
We want a camera installed. Maybe you and other producers don't want a camera installed in there because of what goes on. You know, the people that
True.
Come in and talk
right
to
right now,
and
all they do is lurk in the darkness.
They do. They lurk. We're going to have to put
It'd
a
be
little,
an interesting view.
Little light on that. So this lovely woman gave you a shout out. Wants to see,
well,
demanding
you.
To see more Aaron.
Wow.
Or any of Aaron. Have you heard about Massachusetts trying to get a new state flag and motto? You know, we just changed. You saw our motto, right? With the new license plate. I saw my first one the other day.
What did you think?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's the Liberty Bell, what America starts here, whatever. Is our motto? I forget already. Do you know?
What, everything all at once?
No, not our. All at the same time?
Yeah.
No, this
right,
is
let me look it up.
The state motto they changed for the license plates. Remember,
now they're white.
They look completely different from
it
what
it says.
We've been
"Let
using.
Freedom ring," which was good because that's the Liberty Bell, right?
Yes, in that city on the other side of the state.
You know, I liked the old one going back when I first moved to Pennsylvania.
You've got a friend,
and yep, I liked that one.
That reminded me of that Randy Newman song. You've got a friend. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
You got a friend in me.
Of course. Yeah, that's a classic one.
All right. So Massachusetts is asking their public for ideas for a new state flag and motto.
Now, who is this again?
The state of Massachusetts. The entire state. They're looking for a new flag and a motto.
You know, Minnesota just did that not too long ago. They've got a new flag in it.
Well, they got 1,000 submissions so far, which actually isn't that many. They got one with a flag depicting a velociraptor carrying a coffee cup. Now, what the hell does that have to do with Massachusetts?
Random.
Another one was a seal on a surfboard. I don't know too many people that go to Massachusetts to surf. Here are some of the mottos. How about this? You'll love this, Paul. Witch free since 1693.
Wow. That's catchy.
Because of Salem, the witch,
right.
Witches, the
Salem witch trials.
How about this one? In cod, we trust. They're going to make a decision on this by December 15th.
Their flag, as it works right now, is a white flag, and it has like a blue shield in the center of it, and it really doesn't have much going for it. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Burning Man. Have you heard about this thing? They're gathering
yes.
out west.
It's mm-hmm. a lot of strange stories come out of that.
Right.
Well, it's even stranger, and it's Mother Nature's fault this time. This year, Burning Man, which is an arts and music festival in the Nevada desert. I had a friend last year ask me, hey, Larry, seriously, do you want to go to Burning Man? I'm like, no.
You're like, I still don't know if I know what it is.
My
is
idea
it
of
safe?
Camping in the desert is a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, no fire.
At least, yeah. So TikTok documented, have you seen these dust storms that have been plaguing?
Oh, yes.
Particularly the deserts out west in Nevada. Mm-hmm. I forget what they call that when the wind picks up so much they call it a haboob or something. Aaron's looking at me like, come on, Larry. No, I'm not joking.
You're honestly probably spot on about it.
So here they go. They go out thinking it's going to be hot and dry in the desert. First, they get hit with massive sandstorms so bad the winds were 50 miles an hour. And that was, they survived that, right? Choking on the sand at Burning Man.
Oh, my goodness.
And then came an unprecedented rainstorm that forced the festival to close, stranding people in their cars for over 20 hours.
Yuck.
What? But that tracks with how, you know, the weather has been lately worldwide.
Yeah. So Burning Man burned out early this year between the sandstorm and the rain in the desert, where neither is supposed to happen in August. A St. Louis man convicted on Tuesday of a Kohl's cash scheme. That's K-O-H-L. You know the store?
Yes.
Kohl's store? Worth more than $200,000. He used the Kohl's cash for in-store purchases, then used the same ones online to buy more stuff before the store had registered the transaction. You see what he would
Interesting.
Do?
Interesting. Right.
Some of these criminals are...
Really?
If they used their criminal minds for legal things, they'd probably be better off.
It'd be great.
So he got busted for that. He returned the items, and then he would start all over again.
What even is the... But people are serious about Kohl's cash and Macy's. When I worked at Macy's forever ago, they had something... It wasn't called Macy's cash, but something similar. And people don't mess around about that.
And one other note, it's National Red Wine Day.
Mm.
So if you
how
like,
do you feel about that, Aaron?
Well, I actually, yeah, I enjoy red wine. I think, yeah, red wine is different, though. They say it's healthy, but is it after that Trending with Tea segment that you guys did?
A year from now, they'll have another one that says it's good for you.
Yeah,
back
that's
and forth and up and down.
That's
right?
Fair.
Resveratrol in the red grapes is supposed to help clear your arteries. At least that's what they used to say. Now,
one glass.
Who knows? But just think of this. Did you ever wonder, Jesus's first miracle was making wine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At the wedding.
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable.
And when he went, he was 30, living with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
His mom says,
it's time.
Jesus, I want you to come to the wedding in Cana. He knows what's coming, right? They ran out of wine. Who runs out of wine at a wedding?
Right.
Mary looks at Jesus like, hey.
Huh? Can you do something about this?
And he goes, it's in the Bible. Mother, it's not my time. Right?
And mm-hmm. she's like, yes, it is.
And yes, yeah. she gave him the motherly look, apparently.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
said,
right.
all right.
He
we'll
relented.
Take those casks of water and now go back there. Sommelier guy comes up and he goes, wow, normally you serve the best wine first,
that's
but
right.
you save the best for last.
True. Yep. He did say that. Yeah, really cool
Don't
story.
You want to know what was that wine?
What? Right, true.
What a great question. Huh?
What
huh?
was that wine?
Are we talking,
what grape?
You know,
what?
Thinking
was
it
like
wasn't.
A new wine like a Beaujolais, or are we talking Chablis?
Right.
Or?
Well, thinking of the region, and someone said the grapes, and I said, forget about the grapes in the region. He could do whatever he wants.
He
That's
could
exactly
do whatever
right.
he wants, make it from wherever.
It's a great story. It really is.
It had to be better than Boone's Farm or Franza.
Yeah, or Strawberry Hill.
Can you think Ugh. Of the sommelier coming back to the table? Oh, this box wine is good.
Well,
thank right. you, Jesus.
Hey, how about that nitrate?
VK Morning Show, Larry Richard on this Thursday, heading into the Labor Day weekend. And there was a lot going on in and around town. The big story, obviously, is the shooting at the church, Annunciation Church, on the school grounds in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And more about the perpetrator, 23-year-old Robert Westman, with CBS's Jared Hill.
There are a number of things that they're looking into with the suspect. We also know here that there are a lot of firearms that they've been talking about considering. Minneapolis police say that Robin Westman recently legally obtained the three guns used in yesterday's attack at the church. No documented criminal history that we know of at this point, but investigators are looking into some of the writings from what seemed to be the shooter's journal. Police also say that Westman appears to have scheduled that YouTube video to post yesterday. In it, you can see multiple guns as well as magazines for ammunition, a lot of them with some writings on them with slurs and hateful messages directed toward Black people, Jews, Latinos, President Trump, as well as references to God. Investigators said that they have recovered more firearms connected to the suspect after executing several search warrants, including at three residences they say are tied to the shooter. Westman was an alum of Annunciation. Their mother also used to work at that church. The FBI director says this case is being investigated as domestic terrorism and a hate crime targeting Catholics. Some more background that we have here. 5 years ago, Westman sought to legally change their name from Robert to Robin. Back to the shooting investigation, authorities believe that this was meticulously planned. The shooter even had wooden 2x4s to block her church door. Westman died by suicide behind the church.
CBS's Jared Hill. Local reaction, as you heard in the newscast with Paul Rasmussen from the Catholic Church, from the bishop, and a heightened sense of alert today, and generally a sense of mourning and empathy, Aaron, as no one can imagine, especially with your kids on a morning in church, third day of school, celebrating the new year in a sacred place, and then this.
Yeah, mimics the massacre we had here with our Jewish community.
Yeah, people on a Saturday.
Right. You're just in a peaceful environment. That's the last thing you think would happen.
So we'll get reaction, I'm sure, as we get typically the same reaction and pretty much the same answers each and every time.
Right.
That said, we are getting ready for the Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a little atypical because the Savannah Bananas are here. They were everywhere yesterday at the new Dick's Sporting Complex, I should call it, out at Ross Park Mall yesterday, some of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about, Aaron, there's a couple of local guys. There's two in particular. I did reach out to them. I know you reached out, and hopefully tomorrow morning we'll make contact. But one of them is Alex Ziegler from Butler and Ryan Cox from Raccoon Township. Both played college baseball, and both wanted to be major leaguers. And what's interesting is that this has put them on the map as players and entertainers. I think Alex has 156,000 followers.
The owner of the Savannah Bananas, co-owner, and the way he sees like marketing yourself, I watched a few clips of him speaking yesterday. He has tapped into something that is so cool in a time where there's a lot of heaviness happening.
Right.
So I love that he's like, okay, you want to be a major leaguer? Here's a way to get to those same fields, but you're also bringing joy, excitement, laughter. It's cool.
Yeah, the handle on X for Alex is the Glove Magician.
He's like, yeah, let's have fun with this.
So the other practical part is tickets, crazy prices for tickets. It sold out almost instantly when it was announced that they would be here at PNC Park tomorrow night and Saturday night. Now, surrounding that, on the North Shore, Saturday, Pitt, Duquesne, for the first time in 86 years, and then the Rib Fest, the Icy Light Rib Fest, this annual kickoff and rib festival all around the stadium. So today, starting at 4, you have 12 nationally known pit masters competing for the prize presented by, I like this, PA Pork.
Yes.
And then tomorrow at noon, it's back underway. You can have lunch down there on the North Shore. The Clarks will perform tomorrow night. And we're looking at Jaylen Warren, Steelers running back, with an appearance down there around 6 o'clock. Well, I think you and Benny should go. You've never been?
No. So I remember last year, specifically, I remember you saying, you know, I'm going to be at the Rib Fest. I'm going to try XYZ. And I would love, Saturday, they've got the post-game street party. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, DJ Steve Maffey Jr.
Yes.
After the Pitt-Duquesne game. And then, of course, people will be starting to come in for the Savannah Bananas.
Right. It's going to be...
And the gates open there at 4:30, even though first pitch isn't until 7-something.
And this kind of weather, I feel like, you know, in the summer when everyone's hot and sweaty, or in the winter when people are freezing, sometimes these big crowds can be overwhelming, but we're right in the thick of this perfect weather where everyone should be just kind of in a good mood, lollygagging through the streets. I think it's going to be amazing this weekend.
And then Sunday, the 11th annual Cornhole Classic.
That'll be interesting, but yeah. People take it serious.
Oh yeah. And then they have entertainment, and then Labor Day Monday, you've got downtown starting at PPG Paints, the Labor Day Parade at 10. And then you'll be able to, there's the Steelers Run Walk. Billy Price will be one of the entertainers, mm-hmm. House of Soul, Guitar Zach, and the Jimmy Adler Band. This is all happening
This weekend
on the North Shore, and it really starts
today.
So I know mentally a lot of people are going to check out, Aaron.
100%.
Stay with us.
To uncover the full scope of what happened, to try and identify a motive why it happened.
That is Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara in the moments after yesterday's mass shooting in Minneapolis.
And the stories... far too familiar, but in this case, unique in the fact that it was a Catholic church with kids attending a mass to celebrate back to school.
Juneteenth promoter William Marshall is suing the city and the mayor, saying Ed Gainey hampered preparations, withheld funding, and delayed permitting in retaliation for some criticism.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the details are, but if you recall, the last few years, there have been issues with this event.
Each time.
Yeah. And so we'll sort through the details.
Now we're going to court. And last night at St. Louis.
The Pirates take a 2-1 series lead with a 2-1 victory over the Cardinals. Bubba Chandler pitched 4 scoreless innings. He earned his first major league win.
You know what's amazing? This young man threw 22 pitches of 99 miles per hour and... I think 6 over 100. And guess what? Somebody said, well, is he like a Paul Skeens level? Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, he's that good. He got, in his first appearance, he got a save. And last night got the win.
That's something that doesn't happen very often.
No, it's the first time in the majors that it's happened since 1989.
Wow.
So
here's your rotation to start out with next year. You got Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler, and then start filling in the blanks. I mean, there's a lot of good pitching.
And how about Joe Starkey from the Post-Gazette in 93.7, The Fan, wrote an article today about suddenly he feels the Pirates are closer than you think.
Well, they have been closer than we think. Bubba Chandler probably should have been here sooner than he did get here, but... I mean, the pitching is really pretty good. I mean, Santana is shutting people down as the closer. We didn't lose a lot when we lost Bednar, except the fact that he's a favorite here, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're just a couple bats away. They've got some pretty good defensive players.
Yeah, they just they're not that far away. I know people are tired of hearing that, and I get that.
They could win a lot of one-run games if they had a couple more people who could really hit the ball well.
Well, fans will be going bananas at PNC Park this week.
Well, look out.
The bananas are here. We'll have more on the Savannah Bananas coming up. But yeah, Bubba Chandler apparently is the real deal.